Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, we have a jam-packed show. Woj is going to stop by with the very latest on Kyrie Irving. Plus, we're only one day away from this year's NBA draft. The top three prospects tell us why they should go number one tomorrow. And we reveal this season's WNBA All-Stars, including who the co-captains and starters will be. All that and more. NBA Today starts now. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm George Sedano in for Malika Andrews. We're just hours, 24 hours or so away from the NBA draft. We've got Jay Billis stopping by in a couple of minutes. He'll have the latest on Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith, and much, much more. But we begin with Kyrie Irving, who has until June 29th to opt in or decline his $36.5 million player option for next season. If he opts in, Irving would be eligible for an extension with the Nets, or could play out the season and become a free agent in 2023. If Irving declines the option, he becomes a free agent this year, but would still be eligible to sign a max deal with the Nets if they're willing to offer it. Now, let's welcome in our senior ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. So, Woj, you got a piece on ESPN.com about Kyrie Irving's looming contract decision. What is in the balance here for Kyrie Irving?
Well, I think for Kyrie Irving and the Nets is, of course, first of all, does he return to Brooklyn? Now, his options outside of the Nets, especially if the Nets are not willing or don't get engaged in sign-and-trade talks, are limited. There are not teams with cap space. Teams with space are perhaps not teams he would be interested in, and perhaps I don't think are interested in him. Now, the Lakers are considered the most significant threat right now for Kyrie Irving, but that would essentially entail him taking $30 million less than he can opt into in Brooklyn. There's a $6 million taxpayer exemption he could sign with the Lakers with. Now, most people would say a player is not going to give up that much money, but Kyrie Irving gave up nearly $17 million last year because of his refusal to get vaccinated. He lost a significant shoe deal with Nike, or is in the process of losing that shoe deal with Nike. So I think that the Nets have gone into this with their eyes open, that it's possible he could walk. He has done things differently in his career. But I think there's a sweet spot for the Nets and for Kyrie Irving to find a deal. And if they don't, how does that impact Kevin Durant's future with the Nets? All of that's at stake this week.
Yeah, and that's my follow-up here. Where does Kevin Durant lie in all of this?
And this is the real difficult position for Brooklyn, because Kevin Durant remains very connected to Kyrie Irving. They came here together, and they are still together. Kevin Durant wants Kyrie Irving back. And what the Nets are risking, if Kyrie Irving does leave, does Kevin Durant then ask for a trade? Now, he just signed an extension last season. He's got 4 years left. It's difficult to ask for a trade with that much time left on your deal. And it's certainly difficult to dictate perhaps where you would like to go. The Nets want to avoid all of that. And certainly, I think Kyrie Irving's best leverage right now is the pressure that Kevin Durant is putting on the organization. And listen, there are other players. It has not been easy to keep role players in Brooklyn and to recruit role players in Brooklyn, especially with all the drama around Irving. And that impacts how they build the team too. But ultimately, you know, Kevin Durant is the epicenter of this organization. And the Nets, in one hand, are trying to stay disciplined on an extension. They want to do a short-term deal with Kyrie Irving. He can opt into that $46 million, as you said, or he can opt out and get as much as $42 million in the first year of a new deal. But he wants a long-term max deal. That's not available to him right now in Brooklyn, nor is it available to him anywhere else. So, listen, there's going to be a lot of back and forth as the Nets, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant move forward. But no question, there's a great deal at stake. You know, this was a grand experiment in Brooklyn, having Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and, of course, James Harden all together. And, you know, what the Nets, of course, are trying to avoid is a scenario where Kyrie Irving leaves and then Kevin Durant says to them, I'd like to play somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the other teams around the league are certainly looking at that situation, trying to see if they can pry any of those pieces away, but particularly Kevin Durant. It feels like the Nets are certainly, you know, dealing with a tightrope here in regards to this particular situation. But with that Kyrie contract, regardless of what it is, do you expect there to be clauses about games played or things of that nature? Do we even know if that's a possibility?
It's a negotiation, George, and I think in a perfect world, yeah, I'm sure the Nets would like to have some protections and some incentive for Kyrie Irving to be on the court. And if he does a short-term deal this year, that could potentially set him up to do a bigger deal next year, either whether it's in Brooklyn or whether it's somewhere else. Certainly, him being available, playing, performing at a high level would all be part of that. And certainly, like any other player, Kyrie Irving wants that money guaranteed. And so that's where it's going to be a negotiation. And that's, you know, that tightrope that the Nets are walking, because if Irving does walk on them, decides to go play somewhere else, how that impacts Kevin Durant, you know, is certainly integral to the future of this organization.
Yeah, no question about it. What a time, certainly, in Brooklyn, and I don't envy their position at all. He's the best in the business, Adrian Wojnarowski, joining us here, ESPN NBA Senior Insider. You're the man, Woj. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, George.
You got it. All right, we now bring in NBA champion Matt Barnes and 15-year NBA vet J.J. Redick, who's in New York. So, Matt, let's start with you. If you were on the Nets, would you want Kyrie as your teammate right now?
Absolutely, because you know, you obviously have a personal relationship with them, the guys in the locker room. I'm sure the guys in the locker room still love him. They just want him to commit. And, you know, the fact that we're talking about can he get a max, should he get a max, the talent is undoubtable. What they're debating on is the character and the want and the will to compete every single day with the rest of your teammates. And like Sean Marks said, you know, someone who's going to put the team above themselves. And Kyrie, it's no secret, although we respect the vaccination decision, because that's an individual decision for everyone. He's been a very selfish person and a selfish player, and he's left a franchise in limbo. He's left a good friend, Kevin Durant, in limbo. But all people want to see is, you know, can this guy commit? You know, so if he plays out this final year in the contract and shows, you know, plays 60 to 70 games, 72 games, next season, there's no doubt he's going to get a max contract. People just want to know, can we rely on you when we need you? And the answer so far has been no. But I'm thinking he's going to hear this all. We're already tired of talking about, but this is just beginning. He's going to hear this all the entire summer. Yeah. And maybe something will get through to him.
JJ, what's your reaction to all this noise surrounding Kyrie?
Well, there's always posturing. There's always smoke and mirrors. People are looking for leverage. Players do it. Teams do it. Agents do it. This is really nothing new to the NBA. You know, I do think the idea that if Kyrie were to walk and Kevin Durant was to request a trade, like, that would be an absolute disaster for the Brooklyn Nets. And if you look at the history of them when they moved from New Jersey, the trade to the Celtics where they gave up draft picks to get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry, that didn't work out. Then there was a few years where they weren't very good. They were rebuilding. They brought in Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson. They built this culture. And then they used that culture and that promise of a better future to leverage that into signing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving as a package deal. Then they traded away a lot of that depth, guys like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell, the people who helped build this culture. And now 3 years in, without a conference finals appearance, without an NBA finals appearance, you're essentially starting over. And look, if Kevin Durant asked for a trade, sure, you'd get back a package and some draft picks and all that. But The goal was, when those guys signed, to get a championship. And if that were to not happen in this era, that's a failure.
So in the conversation I just had with Woj, you know, and the story that he wrote, he talked about how Kyrie, because we can't get in his head, right? Like, maybe he's trying to use the Lakers as leverage with the taxpayer mid-level exemption. JJ, do you believe that's even possible? Like, do you think that's a real threat by Kyrie?
You know, I can't get in Kyrie's head either. You know, my gut tells me that Kyrie Irving will be in a Brooklyn Nets uniform to start next season. How we get there, I don't know. I don't know if that's opting out, re-signing a deal, signing an extension. You know, I get why Kyrie Irving, a player of his stature, would not want stipulations in his contract. He is a max level talent. And Matt Barnes said that on the show yesterday. Kyrie is a max level talent. There's just so many questions right now about availability and reliability that I get the discomfort for the Nets in offering him that right now.
He's someone that loves the element of surprise. So I wouldn't be surprised if he signed for whatever another team is going to give him if that situation made him feel more comfortable. But the crazy thing to me is the Nets necessarily that we know haven't done anything to mess up. You know, he's been doing more to them than they've been doing to him. You know, they've rolled the red carpet out. They thought, like JJ said, this big, you know, plan was to come and bring some championships to Brooklyn to found a new foundation and a new team in that city. But it's kind of been him doing the issue. So to me, I don't understand why you would really want to leave Brooklyn in the first place. They've been nothing but welcoming. You know, you got Kevin Durant over there with you. You got a great coach in Steve Nash, or, you know, who can really, if he opened up his mind, probably help Kyrie out there on the court at some point. So really, again, it's really going to be up to Kyrie and him getting tired of us talking about him every single day until a decision's made. Because, again, the talent is unmatched, but sometimes talent isn't enough when you're trying to build something.
Matt, would you?
I was just going to jump in here, and I just wanted to point out, like, I agree completely with Matt that the best scenario for Kyrie is to remain as a Brooklyn Net and play alongside Kevin Durant. Joe Harris is back from an injury. Ben Simmons is back from an injury. They have a real chance to be a great basketball team next year if Kyrie Irving is on the floor. And the assumption is that he will be on the floor and available way more than he was this season and way more than he was in that first season. And obviously we could go down the list of all the different reasons why he's missed games, but you have to assume that he will be on the basketball floor for at least 60 to 70 games next season. And they have a real chance to be a good team if that's the case.
All right, let me play the role of NBA Twitter here and ask you the question that seems preposterous on the surface.
So you got to say we're hating right now, because NBA Twitter, whenever you have an opinion, it's all hate. So
No. It's the type of questions you get in the mentions. And you're like, right. So, you know, would you like to see a LeBron-Kyrie reunion, Matt?
No, I would like to see KD and Kyrie finish what they started.
Okay.
You know, again, I'm a fan of the Tsai family, what they've been able to do over there, the way they've kind of been able to build a culture over there. But Kyrie is a big piece of that. And again, we ask, you know, if I'm a role player over there, would I want Kyrie back? Absolutely, because I know what he's capable of. I just need to know, again, as a teammate, are you going to be there? And is there anyone that could, I mean, does Kevin Durant have the kind of friendship with him where he can look him in his eyes, sit him down? Can you tell me, can you be, you know, outside of injury that we don't know what's going to happen, will you be there for me? Will you be my wingman? Can I be your wingman? Are we going to go out there and do what we planned on doing?
I think JJ just muted me on Twitter for asking that NBA Twitter question, basically. It's okay, JJ. I get you.
NBA
I saw you
Twitter
laughing.
Is exhausting, George. You know that.
Hence why I wanted to get it in there a little bit. I wanted to make sure that we know that somebody is on NBA Twitter's side on this show. Anyway, still to come here on NBA Today, Chet, Jabari, and Paolo are soon to become household names. They give us their case for why they should go number one in the draft. Plus, we reveal this season's WNBA All-Stars. Who will the co-captains be? LaChyna Robinson is in the studio to break it all down. And there's been so much talk around the league ahead of the draft and free agency. We do a little rumor roundup. See NBA Twitter, I got your back. More on NBA Today after the break.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
What's your long-term goal?
Try to make it to the pros if I have a chance.
If you can see the butterflies in my stomach.
Let's do this!
Warriors select.
Yeah. Don't stop. I never will. I saw the sunshine rising and my life changed. I saw a different point of view within my price range. Oh yeah, it's high stakes trying to get
that
your
happened,
mind
baby.
Straight. Boy, I'm at a job. I built a life that I won't jeopardize.
Oh, come on! Come on, America!
Who wanna take this from me? Well, I'm out enjoying my bread. I try to walk away from it, but I heard that voice in my head saying,
with the first pick, the Orlando Magic select.
We are just one day away from the NBA draft at Barclays Center, where Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero are all hoping to be the top pick. And of course, earlier today, they talked all about it. Let's check it out.
Hello, new world, all the boys and girls. I got some true stories to tell.
I feel like I should be the number one pick just because I feel like, you know, I'm the best overall player on the offensive end, on the defense end, you know, what I'm able to do at my size with my skill level. It's just rare. Whatever team, whether it's number one or whatever pick, you know, whatever team that gets me is getting a number one overall caliber player.
I feel like with my, you know, my track record and the work I've put in and the work that I've shown, I show I can, you know, help, you know, any team that I join be a better team.
I believe I'm the number one pick just because my skill set, my versatility, and just what I bring to a team. You know, I can do anything a coach needs me to do. I'm real coachable and all I care about is winning.
Jabari Smith has emerged as the favorite to be the first overall pick in tomorrow night's draft. At minus 280 odds, according to Caesars Sportsbook. That equates to about 74% chance that he will be the first player off the board. Then it's Paolo Banchero of Duke at plus 280, and Chet Holmgren now has plus 550 odds to be the first overall pick. We now welcome in ESPN college basketball analyst and NBA draft guru, Jay Billis. So we just heard from Jabari, Chet, and Paolo on what it would mean to be the number one pick, but Jay, who do you think the Magic should take at number one?
Well, I think it's a two-horse race between Holmgren and Smith. And Holmgren is unique. He's got some Giannis tendencies in his game, not the same body style, maybe the same when Giannis came into the league, but he certainly improved that. But I still lean toward Jabari Smith, just a touch. And but it's one of the most difficult decisions at number one that I can remember. And look, all three of those guys are going to be all-stars. And I think they're all worthy of the number one pick in most any year, but they're all in this draft. And you have to make a decision, or at least Orlando does. And I tend to lean to Jabari Smith because he's a great shooter. Shot 42% for three, made 79 threes on the year. Really good in the mid post. He can shoot off the catch or the dribble, and he's a really versatile defender. He can switch out and guard multiple spots, block shots, gets deflections. I think he's got a really high ceiling. It's just when you start talking about Holmgren, in today's NBA, you know, he can be a game changer. He's not a low post player. He's a perimeter player, and he really can grab a rebound, and he's a guard handler. Can get downhill and spin, finish with his left, his right, dunks everything. He's impressive. It's just, you know, you kind of, for an older guy like me, you got to get over that body. There haven't been that many body styles in the NBA that have been ultra successful. You know, he's built like Sean Bradley, but he's tough and competitive, and he's not shown any injury problems in his career. I think Holmgren's the real deal.
JJ, I'm going to let you to put your GM's cap on. Who would you take number one?
Yeah, there's a number of players. We've talked about Banchero, Chet Holmgren. I also really am high on Jaden Ivey. But for me, it's Jabari Smith. I am very enticed by his size, his skill set, and the position that he plays. I think versatile forwards are so valuable in today's NBA. And because he can shoot the ball and handle, and as Jay said, potentially guard multiple positions. I mean, this is a guy that you can build a franchise around, and that's not to take away anything from Chet Holmgren or take away anything from Paolo. I just think his skill set translates so well to the modern NBA.
I think this is going to be one of those rare situations where you see all three of these guys be better players in the NBA just due to the freedom, the space, and that they're all three of their versatilities. I like Jabari at one because of his versatility and the way he can stretch it, but I'll be the devil's advocate and say I'll take Paolo at number one. And I got a chance to read an article about the way he expanded his game during the pandemic back at home in Seattle, working out with guys like Isaiah Thomas, Jamal Crawford, Spencer Hawes. So you know he continues to develop. Obviously, didn't shoot the three ball percentage-wise as well as possible, but he's someone, again, 6'10", 250, really strong, probably the strongest pro body out of those three guys. And I think actually it's less about body these days because the game is more a skill set instead of strength and power. But I really like his versatility, his ability to take advantage of mismatches. And again, with space, I feel like his game is only going to get better. And I know working with his boys back at home, it's definitely going to improve his jump shot. So I'm going to take Paolo at number one.
Jay, let me ask you this. Beyond the top three, who do you think is the next most NBA-ready player?
Well, JJ mentioned him. I think it's Jaden Ivey, but at number four, but also Keegan Murray at five. Keegan Murray from Iowa is probably the one player you can plug into an NBA team today and put him out on the floor and feel really comfortable. He can operate out of the post, the mid post. You know, you hesitate to say he's ambidextrous, but he uses either hand, and he actually favors his left hand around the basket. Shot 55% from the field, good three-point shooter. I liken him kind of to a more athletic, bigger, longer Malcolm Brogdon because he's just so solid. I mean, he's not going to, you know, lead Instagram or SportsCenter top tens in spectacular plays, but he makes the right play over and over again so often that his numbers at the end of the game are absolutely spectacular. I'm a big fan of Murray's. Who knows? He may be taking sixth or seventh because, you know, Ben Mathurin of Arizona is said to be rising up, and you've got Shaedon Sharpe out of Kentucky and Dyson Daniels out of the G League that are all really attractive long-term prospects. But with Keegan Murray, you're getting a guy you can plug in today and play.
Jay, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate the time as always.
Always. Thank you.
You got it. Make sure you check out Jay tomorrow on the NBA draft coverage with our entire crew at Barclays. Still to come on NBA Today, we're minutes away from revealing this season's WNBA All-Stars. Find out who makes it. Plus, we take a deep dive into the top NBA draft prospect known as Chet Holmgren. You heard Jay talking about him a second ago and his special relationship that he has with his father. And more on the never-ending cycle surrounding Kyrie Irving. Brian Windhorst will join us with the latest. NBA Today rolls on.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Welcome back to NBA Today. It's time for the WNBA takeover portion of the program, and I'm joined by LaChyna Robinson, who is in the house.
What's up?
Great to see you again. Of course, our host and analyst on WNBA coverage.
Hope you're getting two paychecks out of that.
But I mean, I'm trying.
And you got to do what
boss,
you got to do.
Yeah.
I can help you out if you need.
Thank you.
They don't listen to me, but I can try at least.
Anyway, we have an all-star team to reveal, but we have to start with what went down last night in Vegas between the Sky and the Aces. Just an insane game. The Sky, by the way, trailed by 28 points in the second quarter. We start in the third quarter. Sky on a 7-0 run, down six. Look at this great ball movement. Candace Parker finds Miesemann for three here. There it is. Wide open look from up top. Splash.
34 assists for Chicago. That's the number that stood out to me, George.
Yeah. Sky cut the lead to three there. On the other end, Rebecca Gardner intercepts the pass. She goes coast to coast.
I may have been asleep at this point because after that 41-18 start, I was like, I'm going to bed.
That was a 12-0 run. Now it extends to 14 here as Parker forces the turnover. Next Sky possession. Courtney Vandersloot is going to get in the act. Easy lay in there.
Courtney Vandersloot has been brilliant. I mean, can you imagine what it took to stick in a game after you've been down 28 on the road?
Here's incredible. Cooper makes it an 18-0 run in the third quarter.
Yeah, Kalia Copper, reigning MVP of the finals of the WNBA, still getting after it.
Yeah, Sky up nine. Vandersloot fires a pass down here to Stevens.
Talk to Carolyn Peck, who called this game. She said Azaree Stevens was brilliant in this win for Chicago.
And Allie Quigley fakes the defender, hits the floater. 6 minutes to play, Sky up 10. Parker hits the baseline step back.
Miss Parker, still smooth as silk.
12 is the lead now. 2 minutes to play, Sky up 7. Parker with a no-look pass to Mieseman, who lays it in. Sky come back from 28 down to win 104-95, the largest comeback win in WNBA history. All right, that highlight was just the appetizer for the reason LaChyna joins us today. We have the honor of unveiling the 2022 WNBA All-Star starters. But before we do that, let's take a look at the process of how the teams came together. The starters are selected by a combination of votes from fans, current players, and media, with the fans having the largest share. The league's head coaches will then select 12 reserves, which will be announced next week, and the teams will be drafted by the captains of each team. So let's get to the unveiling here. Drum roll, please. There it is. Let's go. Come on, give it to me. Instead of traditional captains this year, the WNBA is giving us co-captains this season, okay? So Breonna Stewart of the Storm will co-captain a team with legend Sylvia Fowles, while Asia Wilson will co-captain a team with Sue Bird, who is extending her record number of All-Star games to 13 appearances. So, LaChyna, both Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles are All-Stars in their final seasons. What does that say about the impact they've had on this game?
Well, first of all, I think we have to note that this co-captain designation has nothing to do with the voting. Sue and Syl were actually voted into this
right.
All-Star game as starters. But what it says about their impact is that the fans wanted to see Sylvia and Sue in one more game. Yep. Fans account for 50% of the voting. We're talking about two future Hall of Famers, two players that are arguably the best in the history of this league at their various positions. So the fans got what they want. I'm sure everyone's happy. These two definitely deserve to have another All-Star appearance. And I love this co-captain situation.
I do. I like it.
Are the vets going to take over? The youngsters going to be making the decisions? I'm interested to see how that'll work.
All right, let's continue with the reveal, starting with more MVPs, the reigning MVP. Making her fourth appearance here is Jonquel Jones.
Yeah, can you feel that breeze coming in from Bahamas? 6'6", Jonquel Jones of the Connecticut Sun. That fourth appearance, she's pacing the Sun 15 points per game, ranks third in the league with 9 rebounds. Also a great cover story on Jonquel out today from our Katie Barnes. You will want to check that out. Congrats to Jonquel.
Yes, congrats to Jonquel. We've got two-time MVP Candace Parker, of course.
Yes, Candace Parker getting another All-Star nod. I mean, it's in Chicago, right?
It
doesn't make sense for Parker to be out there showing and running and passing the triple-double queen from the point forward position.
We love the Ogumike sisters around here, obviously, and Nneka Ogumike, 2016 MVP.
Yeah, I was happy to see Nneka get into the All-Star game despite the woes of L.A. We'll have to get into that another time, but leads the Sparks in scoring and rebounding, and definitely a fan favorite.
We also have a trio of young stars making their All-Star debut. The Aces' Kelsey Plum is averaging over 20 points per game, 20.3 to be exact, second most in the WNBA. Her teammate, Jackie Young, who is averaging a career best 18.2 points per game. And then the final first-timer is the Liberty's Sabrina Ionescu, who leads the team in scoring and assists. So to recap, here are the 10 starters for the All-Star game. Just an incredible lot of talent here. Sue Bird makes her 13th All-Star game appearance and her 11th start. Both are the most in WNBA history. The Aces currently own the league's best record, and they were awarded with three All-Star Game starters in Asia Wilson, along with a pair of first-time selections in Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young. So, LaChina, with Sue and Sylvia captaining or co-captaining these teams and three young stars out here, what do you make of this collection of talent we've got here, particularly the young stars?
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed. I've been impressed with the youth star talent in the WNBA over the last few years. When you look at finals MVPs and MVPs, a majority of them have been 27 years old or younger. So there's been a youth movement. They've established themselves. But what I see happening right now is not really a passing of the torch from the Sylvia Fowles and the Sue Bird, but more of a change of style in the WNBA, the end of an era. Sylvia Fowles is more of a traditional back-to-the-back center, pounded in the paint, rebounder. Right. Sue Bird, pass-first point guard. You don't see many of those anymore. Yeah. They now call it the lead guard so they can get shots off, right?
Although she got a lot of shots off in Brooklyn the other night.
She absolutely did. But I think more than anything, that's what we're seeing now is just a change of the guard in terms of the way the game is played. But no doubt Sue and Sylvia have made a huge impact on the game. Two future Hall of Famers. And guess what? The young guns are ready. They're up next.
Yeah.
They're ready to take their place.
They are ready to take the mantle, that's for sure. Let's take a look at some of the key dates coming up as it pertains to the All-Star game. The team captains will draft the All-Star teams on July 2nd. And we'll have that for you, obviously, right here on ESPN. A week later, it's the Skills Challenge and the Mountain Dew three-point contest. Chicago's Allie Quigley won the three-point contest for the third time in her career last year. And the All-Star game is Sunday, July 10th on ABC. But you don't have to wait that long for WNBA action. Big one tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN2, Liberty and Sun. LaChina, what should we be watching for in this particular game?
New York Liberty is dangerous. We're seeing some momentum from that young team. Again, you mentioned Sabrina Ionescu. Maureen Johannes is an incredible player. But let me tell you about the Connecticut Sun. Their defense, sniping. Kurt Miller has done an outstanding job with that team in their front court. Their paint scoring, dangerous.
And as always, you've done an outstanding job. Great to see you again.
Thanks, George. Always good to see you.
LaChina Robinson. All right, coming up on NBA Today, where current number one draft prospect Chet Holmgren may have gotten his ability to play basketball. We'll tell you where that secret lies in a moment. Stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren is one of the prospects who will hear his name called tomorrow night in Brooklyn at the 2022 NBA Draft. Holmgren, currently ranked the number one best prospect by ESPN, attributes his success to his father, thanks to his camcorder, which has also grabbed national attention. Let's take a look.
My dad played for the University of Minnesota. He started recording my basketball games, I think it was like sixth grade. He said I wasn't boxing out, and I told him I am boxing out, and he said he was gonna start recording them so he could show me. I was right, of course, maybe. So I think my dad started out with like a basic little home video camera recorder. He upgraded a couple years ago, and then I think he just upgraded again. And this year, some of the different TV outlets started making the little graphics during the game and showing him recording the games. It was just kind of funny to start seeing the stuff on Twitter. I'm very thankful of everything he's done and the positions he's put me in to help me be successful and be the player I am today.
Chet Holmgren's versatility was on full display in his lone season at Gonzaga. Holmgren had two games last season with at least 15 points, 15 boards, 5 assists, and 5 blocks. The rest of the Division I combined didn't do that once. Monica McNutt, our pal, caught up with Holmgren ahead of tomorrow night's draft.
Mark Few said about you, I don't know if there's a comp for him. He's incredibly unique and skilled. That's a big deal, and that's not bias. That's a great basketball mind.
Appreciate
what do you
that
think
from
is Fuey. Yeah, what do you think is the strength of your game?
Like you said, you know, my versatility, my ability to do different things, you know, based on what is needed from me that night, that game. You know, every game's different. Even if you put the same players on the court on the same day of the week, the ball is going to bounce a different way each time. So being able to adjust and do different things is important.
One of the things when your name comes up is strength. Are you at all concerned about your strength?
No, I'm not questioning it.
I love that. What gives you so much confidence?
The work that I put in, you know, I know how much preparation I put in, and you know, I know what I'm working on, and I know how to translate, so that's what gives me confidence.
When did you start to dream and envision your NBA draft night?
Like, I'm big on staying where my feet are, so I don't like to look too far in the future, you know, because that's when you trip on what's right in front of you, so I try to stay where my feet are, but you know, it's definitely been hard not to, you know, picture something this big. So I've had a pretty grand picture of it. It's time to kind of live it out.
We now bring in senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, host of the Hoop Collective podcast. So, Brian, what are teams around the league saying about Holmgren?
Boy, do guys, do people like this kid. They love his competitiveness. They love his skill set. They love his height. They love his character. They love his makeup. They don't love his bulk. And there's many, you know, top prospects over the years who look like Adonises, and they may have a character issue, or their character is great and they look like an Adonis, but they have a bad knee. It's not unusual for a pick not to be perfect. But this guy, the stats are good on him. The scouting is good on him. I've been hearing about him living in the upper Midwest. And he's from Minneapolis. I've been hearing about him for 3 years. There's been a huge buildup to this moment. Obviously, there's going to be some concern, but he's never been injured. And his lack of bulk has not affected him at any level to this point. So really positive on this guy. And in a lot of years, I think he would be the number one overall pick.
So, Matt, how do you see Holmgren's game translating to the league?
I like Holmgren's game. And in years past, you would think that bulk may be an issue. But again, as I mentioned earlier, this game is more about skill. He's not going to be out there facing Tim Duncan, Shaq, Ben Wallace, big guys like that. He's going to be out there facing, you know, guys that probably back in the day could have been guards, but now they're playing forward and center. So I like his game. I love his versatility. I like his confidence. I saw an interview he did maybe like 3 months ago, and they asked him who the best player in the NBA was, and he hesitated for a second, and he said, it'll be me in 3 months. So confidence is a huge piece of this puzzle out here, and he lacks none of it. And again, those top three picks, you can shuffle them and change them however you want, but I think they're going to get a solid player in all three of those picks.
JJ, some people are questioning Chet's strength and ability to hold up. Obviously, the bulk, we've heard both guys talk about it. Are people focusing on the wrong thing with him?
Well, you know, Matt had a great point yesterday, a great little anecdote about testing Devin Booker as a rookie and Devin Booker sort of responding to that. And all rookies get tested. And what I love about Chet Holmgren is that confidence, is that competitiveness. You know, I listed my intangibles yesterday. It's like, do you love basketball? Are you intelligent? And are you competitive? And I think Chet Holmgren, from all we know of him right now, checks all those boxes. And the best players are going to have ups and downs in their rookie year. And they are ultimately going to respond to those. And I think Chet Holmgren is one of those guys that will learn from those ups and downs and ultimately just get better and better. His ceiling is incredibly high.
We'll see where he goes in the draft tomorrow at Barclays Center. We'll have to take a quick break here, but when we return, much more on what's next for Kyrie and the Nets. Man, there is a lot going on in Brooklyn. Keep it locked right here on NBA Today.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. I never wanted to just be about me.
I paid a heavy cost. Where do we go from here?
I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us managing this franchise together.
Back to our top story earlier in the show. Our own ESPN senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Nets know they are walking a fine line. They want Kyrie on a shorter deal, but know that if Irving balks and walks, they risk alienating Kevin Durant. Welcoming back Brian Windhorst here. So, Windy, what are you hearing about the ongoing saga with Irving and the Nets?
The leveraging point of this will be next week when he's got his player option. His opportunity to go to another team really doesn't have a lot of teeth in it because of the lack of salary cap space out there. So if he is really threatening, then he would have to opt out and, you know, at least give the impression he was willing to leave $36 million on the table and take a $25 to $30 million pay cut to go elsewhere. It's not a likely scenario, which is why the Nets feel more comfortable playing hardball. That's road one. Road two is what Woj described, which is the threat of Kevin Durant's reaction if Kyrie Irving left the team for nothing in return, which would significantly knock down the overall Nets' chances of winning a championship next year. Those scenarios are both relatively aggressive, which is why right now this feels a lot like saber rattling on both sides. That's what a lot of the league is seeing it as. If Durant makes a move, or if Kyrie actually opts out of that contract, that will turn up the heat, and I think you might see some action there. But despite all of this intensity, a lot of the league still believes that ultimately he's going to be back in Brooklyn on some sort of contract that both sides can stomach.
Brian, let me ask you this. With all the stuff that's going on there, and obviously him and KD were a package, what do we know about how KD actually feels about the current situation?
Kevin Durant wants to win a championship. He's obviously very close to Kyrie Irving. He went there in the first place. He re-upped. He supported Kyrie Irving when James Harden wanted away. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, he was disappointed with last season. So what Kevin Durant wants is to play for a championship, to be on a better Nets team next year. I believe he wants it to be with Kyrie Irving. But if Kyrie Irving is not there, he doesn't want the team to take a massive step backwards. So, considering I don't think Kyrie Irving's trade value is significant right now, the best option for today, for next month, is for Kyrie Irving to remain a Net.
Do you believe there's any – you said you didn't believe there's a lot of teeth to the other options, but, I mean, I don't know if anyone can get in Kyrie's head. There's talk right about a $6 million taxpayer mid-level exception with the Lakers and maybe rejoining LeBron. Would LeBron even welcome Kyrie back in that situation?
For $6 million, I'm sure LeBron would be happy to have that type of situation. I mean, really, if you want me to paint you a picture here, if Kyrie Irving was going to come up with a scenario that would maybe actually truly scare the Nets, he would opt out of his contract, which is, again, leaving $36 million he has guaranteed on the table, and he would be photographed arm-in-arm with LeBron in an L.A. restaurant on July 1st. That would be a way to truly scare the Nets that he would actually be willing to do that. And that might work, but that's a big risk on Kyrie's point.
Yeah.
And look, he did leave $15 million on the table last year when he made his decision not to get vaccinated. So I can't sit here and say that he wouldn't leave $30 million on the table. But I'm not so sure that having lost $15 million last year makes it more likely that he's going to sacrifice that this year. But yes, Laker fans, I can't completely rule out the possibility that Kyrie would leave $30 million. I just don't think it makes sense.
Okay, so then crystal ball time. I think you've kind of answered this question. Opening day, October 18th. Is Kyrie Irving a Brooklyn Net? Your best guess.
I believe so. And he's on a contract he's not thrilled with, and the Nets are paying him on a deal they're not thrilled with, and that's what happens in negotiation.
All right, B. Thank you so much, Windy. Appreciate the time as always, man. All right, coming up, we're just over 24 hours until draft day. What could the top prospects be thinking about the night before the draft? We'll discuss with our two guys, Matt and JJ, in 60 seconds.
It's the eve of the draft. Do you think you're going to be able to sleep?
I'm going to try to. I'm definitely going to try to, but it's going to be tough. I watch the draft every year, so to actually be here and be a part of you know, draft week is you know, surreal.
It's so close, I can really feel it now. You know, it's definitely been hard not to, you know, picture something this big. So I've had a pretty grand picture of it. It's time to kind of live it out.
All right, guys, you just heard from Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero as they prepare for the draft tomorrow night. So, Matt, take us behind the curtain. What was it like for you the night before the draft?
I mean, obviously, mine is going to be a little different. I was a second-round pick. You know, I got the family together and friends and really just enjoyed the moment. You know what I mean? You work so hard through elementary school, junior high, high school, college at UCLA to actually have an opportunity to have your name called on draft night. So it was an exciting moment for me. But, what you know, for some of these second-round picks, just a heads up, don't exhale once you're drafted in the second round. That's just the beginning. The grind starts then. I was someone who was actually cut, had to go to the G League and kind of grind my way through it. But a tremendous experience, you know, once in a lifetime experience. And I wish all these up and coming rookies the best.
JJ, how about you?
There was a sense of anticipation, a sense of anxiety, a sense of stress. You know, the process between the end of your season in college and then the draft is it's a 3-month process, but it feels like a very long process that you have to go through, and you just can't wait for that moment when you hear your name called. And there's really no feeling like that to officially join the NBA brotherhood. It's a moment I'll never forget.
I gotta see that again. Can I see JJ and Adam Morrison there one more time? I need to see that picture one more time. Can we do that, please? Oops. There it is. Oh, that was, JJ, that's a long suit, man. That 2006?
Hey, George, it was 2006, man. That was the time. That was a nice Xenia suit. If you think my suit was bad, go check out the photo of my draft class. All of us that were invited to the green room. Now, those were some bad suits, all right? There were some big, baggy ones.
It's not the style now.
Different style.
I mean, my draft was actually 20 years ago.
Yeah.
In 2002. So, it goes by fast. It goes by like this. But so, enjoy it, fellas.
Were your suits even larger than JJ's, I guess?
Yeah, we were earlier. Yeah. We didn't actually do the suits, man. We did the walkers back then.
Oh, the
jumper suits. The jumper suits.
It was ugly.
And then immediately after that, JJ heard my pal Stan Van Gundy yell at him probably and scream and drink some Diet Coke.
And get the white foam in the corner of his mouth.
I had to wait a year for that.
We're done here. Thanks to JJ, Matt, Wendy, Woj, and Jay Billis. Make sure you check out all the Smoke podcasts, Old Man and the Three podcast, and the NBA Today podcast.